We continue our learning. Le'ilui Nishmas David ben Menachem Moshe ben Chaim Yaakov ben Pinchas Eliyahu and Megillah Perek Beis Mishnah Beis. Kira'ah Seirugin. If a person read the Megillah, Seirugin means with pauses in between. The Bartunur says Shekara Ma'at V'Shah. He read a little bit and paused. V'Chazar V'Kara Ma'at V'Shah. And he did again. He read a little bit and then paused. Afilu Shah Yoser Mikidei Ligmor Eskula. Even if the pause was the amount of time it would take to read the entire Megillah, Yotza, you're going to be Yotze. We generally have, when it comes to Kriya Shema and other areas of Halacha, if a person was Shaha, paused in between, delayed, the amount of time it would take to do the entire mitzvah, to say the entire bracha, to say the entire Kriya Shema, so we usually consider that a hefsek, an interruption, and you have to go back to the beginning. Not true when it comes to Megillah. So cross a Rugin, with pauses in between, and then the Mishnah gives, you're going to be out to umis nam name. A person, let's say they were dozing off, he was half asleep. That means we're talking about a case where if you call on him, you call his name, he'll answer. But he can't any answer that, but to ask him a question and it needs a little bit of thought to respond, that he's unable to do. But if you remind him of something that was said, he'll remember if you remind him afterwards. So this stage of a person in this state of misnamnaim, so also such a person is going to be otze if he heard the Megillah or read the Megillah in such a case. And the poskim have a machlokas as the issue that has to be discussed is whether or not the person had the proper kavanah. So some say, no, a person's awake enough to have the proper kavanah that you need to fulfill the mitzvah. And other poskim say, no, we're talking about someone who had the proper kavanah, was pretty much awake in the beginning as he was reading and then started to doze off. So since he had the proper kavanah in the beginning, then it's okay. But to be dozing off the entire time, if there was no proper intent, maybe he would not be yotze. So once again, the Mishnah says, cross seirugin, umis namnaim yatza. There is some discussion. What if you talked in between? During that pause, you were talking, so also you fulfill your obligation, even though it's completely inappropriate. And we'll see even further, as the Mishnah will say, that there may be a type, something we would think is an interruption, which halachically is not. Mishnah continues, hayakosva. Let's say a person, they have the sofer, he's in the process of writing a new Megillah, so he's copying from an old, complete Megillah, and is reading each sentence before he then writes the new sentence in the new Megillah. So he's reading from a kosher Megillah and ended up reading the entire Megillah. So here the Mishnah says, since he read the Megillah properly, he fulfills obligation by doing so. Even though he's pausing after each sentence and he's writing the sentence down, he fulfills fulfills his obligation as long as he has the proper kavana. And darsha, someone is darshaning, someone's expounding upon it. He's reading a sentence and then he pauses to explain it. Such a person has also fulfilled his obligation, even though there's talking, there's interruption in between. Umagia, someone is correcting Megillah. So he's checking to see if there are any misspellings in the Megillah and pauses to make those corrections. Im kivein libo. In all of these cases, he has kavana to fulfill this particular mitzvah. So then yatza, he's going to be out of him lav. And if it doesn't have the proper obligation, lo yatza. The general concept of mitzvah sichos kavana is a big discussion, a big concept. Just by way of, just to give a quick summary, there is an opinion that claims that only mitzvahs d'oraisa require a kavana, and mitzvahs d'rabbana do not. So that would mean we're talking about shofar, talking about lulav, you're talking about matzah. So, but if, let's say, lulav after the first day, so then maybe we have the right to be leaning because it's only Zechel HaMikdash. Megillah is questionable because Megillah is Medivrei Kabbalah. These are from Ksuvim, and in certain ways, Megillah may have the status almost of D'oraisa in certain ways. Because of that, maybe the halacha of Kavana would be necessary. And others claim that there's no difference anyway between Dinim D'Rabbanan, mitzvos d'rabbanan, mitzvos d'oraisa. Either way, we require kavana, and that's necessary in general. Now, does this Mishnah prove that mitzvos tzichos kavana? Not necessarily. Mishnah says im kivein libo yotzim lav lo yotza, and that's because here you're doing something completely different. You're fixing the Megillah, magia. So that's someone that's almost like negative kavana. Here you have kavana to do something else. If I'm about to read the Megillah, I don't have in mind I'm going to be yotze. So that's neutral kavana. So maybe that would be effective. But I know that here I'm just fixing or correcting the Megillah, then maybe that's why the Mishnah says, im kivein libo, just to bring me back to the basic level of kavana, doesn't necessarily prove that mitzvah shichos kavana. Now the Mishnah is going to discuss materials that you need for writing a kosher Megillah. Now, and the Mishnah says as follows: Ha'isaksuva b'sam uvisikra uvakomos uvakan kantom al haniyar v'aladiftera lo yatsa. So if you wrote the Megillah with sam, sam is yellow arsenic. Some say it's an ink that comes from a grass root. Sikra we usually assume is a red dye or red chalk. Komos is gum arabic. That's used in the manufacture of ink, but by itself only. Uvakan kantom is ferrous sulfate. Niyar means paper made from papyrus, and our paper would be the same, that it wouldn't be kosher. Difter is parchment animal skin that's treated with salt and flour, but not gall nuts, which we're supposed to be using in general. So that's Bartanura says, or shalom nishlam tikuno, demaliach v'kamiach, maliach salt, kamiach flour, v'lo ofitz, but doesn't have the meafatz and doesn't have gall nut juice. And so these, in all these cases, you're not yotze, ad shetehei ksuva ashuris. Number one, it has to be written, as we said, ashuris, which is the Hebrew lettering that we know, the block letters, the Hebrew letters, not ksav ivri, not the antique, not the old Hebrew, and ala sefer, and has to be written on a cloth, uvid properly, uvid yo, and black ink, that's going to maintain its color on the parchment. Today, when we make ink for sifrei Torah, mezuzas, etc., it's usually a mixture of gall nuts and ferrous sulfate and gum arabic all together give us a very thick black mixture that we need that's going to last. Then, so that is the end of that Mishnah. Oh, one more point is that we have to write, the Megillah itself has to be written on, it says ala sefer. We've mentioned before about the idea of a sefer. So the same way we write Sifrei Kodesh, Tefillin Mezuzos, and Sefer Torah, so the Megillah has to be written on a sefer, on cloth as well. Perek Beis Mishnah Gimel. Now this Mishnah is going to discuss the issue of a person who's a Ben Ir, person who lives in an unwalled city, versus a krach, person who's a ben krach who lives in a walled city. And that status may change depending on where you are for Purim. So this can get complicated. So some of the rules to keep in mind is that if a person is living in a place even for one day, he's going to read the Megillah based on the halachos of that particular city. So if it's on the 14th in an unwalled city and the 15th in the walled city, so it could be that you live in Yerushalayim, but you happen to be Purim, you happen to be in the city, in an unwalled city. So although you may say, I live in Yerushalayim, I'm a citizen, I'm a resident of Yerushalayim, that doesn't, it may not mean that you're going to be reading on the 15th. If you find yourself in an unwalled city, so maybe this year you're going to be considered a Ben Ir. Number two, it's important to keep in mind that the primary reading of the Megillah, v'hayamim ha'elan is karim v'nasim, is during the daytime. The reading of the Megillah at night may have a different status. In fact, when we spoke about the idea of having kavana, and we said that Megillah may have the status of Divrei Kabbalah, maybe semi-deoraisa level, that would only be true of the reading of the Megillah during the daytime. But, because that's what's written in the Megillah, the Hayamim Ha'ilah, we read the Megillah during the day. The reading of the Megillah at night, the night before, is only Derabbanan, and therefore the halachos of Kavana may be different, and other halachos may be different. We say Shechiyanu during the daytime, even though we say Shechiyanu at night, because the primary reading is during the day. Yes, we have to say it at night because it's the first time we're reading the Megillah in a year, but we have to say it during the daytime because that's the primary reading. So the reading at night is certainly a Derabbanan. It doesn't have the status of Divrei Kabbalah. And therefore, it's important to keep that in mind as well. When we're defining the status of a person as a Ben Ir versus a Ben Krach, it's important to keep in mind that the daytime reading is the primary reading. So to acquire a status of a Ben Ir or Ben Krach, it will be dependent on your intent to be present in a particular place during the daytime hours of Purim. And another thing to keep in mind is, in order to acquire a certain status of a resident of Beni or Ben Krach, it has to be that you left your home with intent of spending Purim in another location. And we're going to see that in the Mishnah. But say, for example, if a person went to Yerushalayim, which is where they celebrate on the 15th, which even though he is a Ben Ir, even though he lives in Tel Aviv, but he has intent in being Yerushalayim on the 15th, so he reads the Megillah only on the 15th. And Yerushalayim will not read the Megillah on the 14th, even though he may be in his town on the 14th. If he planned on coming home before Purim, though, he would read on the 14th, even if he happened to stay in Yerushalayim for no reason, because he didn't have a choice and was forced to stay there, he's still considered a Ben Ir because he was planning on coming home. So here says the Mishnah like this. Ben Ir, shehalach lekrach, if you have a Ben Ir, you have a, we'll speak, give the example, person who lives in Tel Aviv and he comes to Yerushalayim. U Ben Krach, shehalach leir. Or you have a person in Yerushalayim and he went to Tel Aviv. So here, the Mishnah says the following. This is the rule. Im asid lachzor limkomo, kori kimkomo. If he plans on coming back to his place, let's say the person from the old world, unwalled city, on the 14th, Tel Aviv, an honor, even though he's in the Krach, he's in Yerushalayim now, or the Ben Krach, first of Yerushalayim is in Tel Aviv, if he plans on coming home for his Purim, he's going to Kore Kimkomo, Vim Lav, but he doesn't plan on coming back, Kore Imahen, then he reads according to the day of the people where he is right now. The Gemara explains the following. Gemara qualifies. It's very important. The Gemara says like this. Lo Shanu, they did not teach its halacha that, let's say, a Ben Krach, who came to an ear, a person of Yerushalayim, came to Tel Aviv and is planning coming back to Yerushalayim, that we say that he reads on the 15th because he plans on coming back to Yerushalayim. That's only Elisha Asid Lachzor Baleil Arbaasar, meaning he's planning on coming back the night of the 14th, and Rashi explains his coming back, meaning he left the city before Alos HaShachar, before Amor HaShachar. So here, in such a case, the Mishnah says that he doesn't have to read with the people on Leil HaBasar, with Tel Aviv on Leil HaBasar. Why? Because during the daytime of the 14th, even though he's still there when everyone started to read in Megillah on Tel Aviv, but he leaves sometime in the middle of that night and plans by Alos HaShachar to be in Yerushalayim. He won't be in Tel Aviv on the 14th. And the Rif says that he plans on coming back on the night of the 14th. And let's say what? He was nis'ake v'lo chazar, meaning he planned on leaving the night of the 14th, but something happened and forced him to stay. And now he's there on the 14th. It doesn't matter. He's going to read Kimkomo like his place on the 15th, whether it's that he's there already, because he's there before Alos HaShachar, of the 14th, or he was forced and didn't have a choice but to stay, and he's in Tel Aviv, but he really planned on coming back by the 14th during the daytime. So that's the halacha. You eat kimkomo, he'll read like Yerushalayim. Aval ain't asid lachzor b'leil al ba'asar. This is the once again the qualification of the Gemara. He did not have in mind to go back that evening, the night of the 14th, but he planned on staying in Tel Aviv at the beginning of the 14th. But in the middle of their Purim, in the middle of the 14th sometime, he's going to go back to Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara there, then Kore Imayan. Then he's going to read, in explaining our Mishnah, then he's going to read on the 14th. He's considered a Paruz, an unwalled person, a Ben Ir for that day. Because it says in Esther, what does it say in the Megillah? It says, Alkein HaYehudim HaParazim, the Jews from the unwalled cities, HaYoshavim Ba'arei HaParazos, Osim Es Yom Abbas HaLachonesh Adar. So the question is, if it already said HaYehudim HaParazim, the Jews from the unwalled cities, why do they have to then add on Hayoshavim Ba'arei HaParazos? It's superfluous. Yeah, of course they're living in the unwalled cities. Ah, Gemara says it comes to teach us Sheparuz Ben Yomo Nikra Parus. If you're an unwalled person for one day, so you're an unwalled person. And the same thing would be true, by the way, if you're a mukaf ben yomo, you're a walled city person, even for one day, nikra mukaf, you're considered a wall person, and therefore the Mishnah taught us. That's why a ben ir goes to a krach, the same thing is true the opposite way. Someone from Tel Aviv goes to Yerushalayim if he plans on returning when? On the night of the 15th of Adar, meaning the night of when people in Yerushalayim are celebrating Purim, beginning in the Megillah. He plans on coming back, and it will be Alos HaShachar back in Tel Aviv already. So even though he happens to be Yerushalayim the night of the 15th, he should be reading Kimkomo. He should be reading on the 14th. And by the way, even he's in Yerushalayim, and he's going to be reading on the 14th. Because since he plans on coming back the night of the 15th before Amud HaShachar of the 15th, he doesn't therefore have the status of a Mukaf Ben Yomo, of a walled city person. But Vimlav. But, once again, explained the Gemara qualifying on Mishnah. But if he doesn't plan on coming back the night of the 15th, he's going to be in Yerushalayim the night that they read, the night of the 15th, and he'll be there during the day, and he's going to come back in the middle of the 15th to Tel Aviv. Well, then you're a Yerushalayim person. Then you're a Mukaf Ben Yomo, and you should be reading on the 15th and not on the 14th. Kore Imoy, and you read on the 15th. Then the Mishnah says, Mehechon Kore Adam Es HaMegillah V'yotei Ba Es Yidei Chovah. So from where do you have to read the Megillah in order to be Yotze? It seems from the Mishnah, there are Tanam who believe that you could be Yotze even if you don't read the whole Megillah, as long as you read the Ikra part of the Megillah. So Rabbi Meir Omer Kula. No, you want to be Yotze, you have to read the whole thing. Rabbi Yud Omer Me'ishihudi, which is the second Perek, Pasukei and onward. That begins the story of Mordechai and Esther. So if you read from that to the end, you Yotze, the part before that is not Ma'akev. And Rabbi Yossi Omer Me'achar HaDivar Ma'ilah, which is where we speak about Gidal HaMelech Achashverosh HaSaman, which is the beginning of the third parak, which begins speaking about Haman. So that would be sufficient. The Gemara says that they all derive this from the same pasuk. It says Vatichtov Esther Hamalka Umordechai Hayudi Es Kol Tokef. They wrote down the whole Tokef. Tokef means literally means the strength. So Rabbi Meir says, what do we learn from here? I have to be reading Tokfo Shel Achashverosh. You have to, from the strength already of Achashverosh, was the beginning of the Megillah. So you have to read the whole thing. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, what was written down and what we have to celebrate and we have to read and we have to publicize is Tokfo Shel Mordechai. So we have to speak about the beginning of the story of Mordechai. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, Tokfo Shel Haman. You know, we want to speak about the strength that Haman had. And eventually he was destroyed, of course. But that Tokfo Shel Haman, so that means the beginning of the third parak. The halacha follows Rabbi Meir, as we know, and we have to read the entire Megillah from beginning to end.